Welcome to Chimpions. This actual play RPG podcast takes place in a setting based on the Secret World Chronicle novels. We use the Hero System 5th edition rules to follow the escapades of a team of metahumans working for the Echo organization. Starring Matt as Bullet.
Right, you fuckers, I'm going to work my way through each one of you.
Paul as Shockwave.
All right, lads, what's going off here? I'll go over and punch him in the face.
Scott, the Stratus.
If I can pick up a construction engineer, we'll leave them all for the emergency services. Let's go to a bar.
And me, your GM, Mark. Anyway, enough pre-waffle. On with the show.
There you go.
So, hello and welcome to
Is this the intro now? are we doing it yet?
This is going to work so much better.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of Chimpions.
Welcome.
Oh, this sounds a lot less wooden than me recording it myself, doesn't it?
It's real.
So, a quick recap, because it's been a few weeks, hasn't it? So, where we left it last time, you had gone looking for Montoro, who you believe is probably Michael Lawrence. So, you went to his abode to try and question him. And when you turned up, you found two removal vans outside the premises, various accoutrements on the lawn, some of his more prized possessions, you would assume there was... A couple of sets of what you presume must be imitation Aztec armor. A couple of sets of conquistador armor, which may or may not be authentic. And some rather large looking garden statues. Most notably, I think there was a couple of Aztec eagles and a large metal wolf. But as you were scoping out the place, Michael Lawrence came out. Reprimanded his chauffeur for flirting with the female removal person and then hopped into the car and shot off. So Stratus, you followed the car and Bullet and Shockwave were going to follow you, but Bullet decided he would go up to the house and see if he could get a little bit more information, met the maid briefly and got an address for Michael Lawrence's abode at the lakes, which is where he's going, apparently. Bullet returned to the van and then decided he was going to go back and pretend he needed to go to the toilet for some reason that I'm not 100% sure of, but I'm presuming he wants to maybe scope out the house a bit.
Yeah, to be honest, it seemed like a good idea a few weeks ago. I can't quite remember what I was thinking. We'll see.
Had wine?
Goes.
Yeah, I think you were planning to have a quick look around the
yes,
house.
Yes, I think I was.
So we'll go with Bullet and Shockwave first. I think that'll be easier. So Stratus has been gone about 5 or 10 minutes, I would say. Shockwave, as you sit there watching Bullet go back into the house, you know, you just watch the removal men and woman. There's a couple loading one van, you know, just with boxes. The other four are sort of trying to manhandle this large metal wolf into the back of one of the vans and then start loading up one of the these large stone Aztec styled eagles in there as well. You knock on the door. Bullet, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
And yes, sir, Marguerite, the maid who you flirted with out of nowhere last time, answers the door. And I'm not going to try a Mexican accent because she's a Mexican maid. And she says, back so soon.
I'm really sorry.
And gives you a winning smile.
I'm really sorry, Marguerite. I've got all these deliveries to make. As you can imagine, you know, everything's a bit up in the air at the moment. And I haven't had a chance to use a restroom at all. I wondered if I could impose and maybe... just use the water closet for a moment.
Of course, come in, come in. She gestures you into the house. He says, "I'll show you where it is."
Thank you very much.
Can you just make me a perception as you go into the rather grand hallway?
Yep. Yes. Made it by 5.
As you come into the hallway, which you'd already been into before, you see there's a little table, you know, a occasion table with the phone and all that sort of stuff on. The hallway's quite sparse, although quite grand. And you notice that there's imprints on the carpet. There's a lush red carpet running, you know, covering the hallway floor and up the stairs. And the stairs go up and they're open, you know, the open banister. And you can see that they form a balcony looking down onto the hallway. There's a large chandelier, wrought iron chandelier, hanging sort of in the middle of the hallway. The sort of thing that you'd see in an Errol Flynn film, you know, with him doing his swashing and buckling.
Okay.
Off. Under the balcony, right in front of you, two double doors. To the left of you are two... it's a single set of double doors. To the left of you is a single set of double doors. And to the right of you is a single door. But you notice that single door has, like, a card swipe on it.
It has a what, sorry?
And she... A card swipe, you know, like a security thing on it where you swipe a card. And she beckons you to the double doors to the left, chats with you amicably as she goes through, takes you into what is a well-appointed dining room with a large, you know, large table, nice cabinets with, you know, the cutlery and all that sort of stuff laid in on display in them, and then shows you to a door opposite that and says, that's the restroom. And she says, I'm just going to pop through to the kitchen. And she points to another set of double doors to the right, the far end of the right. Dining room. She says, I'm just going to make some lunch. Would you like a sandwich? Or
Marguerite, you're an angel. I'd love a sandwich, but you know, my colleague's waiting in the car.
Get them to go.
And if I could impose...
I can make one for your colleague.
That'd be fantastic.
As well,
but we've really got a dash. So, would you mind if we took them?
No, not of course not.
Very sweet, Marguerite. I'm delighted to have met you. Okay, I'll better avail myself. I'll pop into the kitchen when I'm done.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Gives you a smile, and yeah, you go into the restroom again. It's the whole house sort of radiates taste and opulence. You know, it's obviously owned by someone with a lot of money, but it's showing the signs of being stripped. And yeah, you go into the restroom and it's grand. You know, it's this two wash basins. You know, it seems to be one's for females and one's for males. You know, it's on, you know, the male one. There's aftershaves and things. So it's almost like a toilet in a really posh restaurant. You know, it's aftershaves and whatever. And when the female one's got, you know, a few perfumes.
And the toilet roll's folded over at the end, isn't it? You know, into a little point.
Of course they are. Yeah, most definitely.
Well,
even to that point where there is a stand in there with folded towels in it with a laundry basket next to it.
Well, I've been kind of, you know, counting the paces since the hall, and I have absolute range sense, so I was going to attempt to teleport, safe blind teleport, into the room with the card swipe.
Okay.
Shall I make it to hit?
Yeah, all you to hit. They only have to hit DCV3.
Yep. I'm in the room.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the whole map, and I'm going to rely on you not metagame. You can ignore any notes on it. I'm you know, reappropriating this map. So
things like blaster in ceiling.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. So you were in room 3.
And I would have teleported just inside the door.
Okay. So yeah, you teleport into another large grand room. Obviously, Michael Lawrence has quite nice taste, if you like that sort of thing. Yeah, you see, the room you've appeared in the centre is a billiard table. To your left is a bar, a couple of stools in front of it, well stocked behind it. And if you're a drinker, you would realise that most of the brands behind it are not cheap. And a few chairs knocking around. As you can see, there's large bay windows looking out onto the lawns around the house. Also, not on this map, I'm afraid. I didn't quite have a chance to vet it. On the opposite side to where the bar is a large humidor. You can hear it slow, you know, it quietly humming to itself, you know, the cooling system in it humming away. And you see the bottom half is you know, it's probably walnut or something. It's got, you know, separate drawers in it for different cigars or whatever, and at the top half is a display cabinet with various cigar cutters and all the accoutrements of
someone who enjoys
on display.
Cigar City.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any? So it looks like a kind of games or rec room. There's no desks or anything, or.
There's some chairs scattered around the outside. It is the map. Each one of those squares is a chair. You see, there's a set of double doors leading into another room, and the doors are glass, so you can see through it. And you can see it seems to be another large room. You can probably see that there's a piano.
A piano.
There's a display case with about four or five guitars in it. Yeah, this is a man who likes his luxuries, do you?
Yeah, intriguing that it's okay. What I'm going to do is I'm assuming. Well, there's a floor above, isn't there? I don't know what's upstairs.
There is.
But I'm going to teleport. I'm going to go into that room first, the one with the piano, and just have a quick look round. See if there's anything that looks like it might be of interest, that it might, you know, contain some information or other.
Okay, can you roll me a perception? And could you roll me one as well, please, Shockwave?
No.
Made it by 4.
So, just going to cut over to Stratus for a few minutes. Let him do something. So, it's a couple of minutes, isn't it? So, Stratus, you follow Michael Lawrence's car through the back streets, because most of the major thoroughfares, as you now know, have been totaled.
Mm-hmm.
For about 10 or 15 minutes, you're sort of heading generally north. After about 10 minutes. Hello, Stratus. I'm glad to see you survive the trooper. You hear in your head.
Yeah, you git.
Yes, you're right. I don't like breaking my word as much as that proves otherwise. I presume your rest of your team is hot on my tail. So just humour me for a moment. I think I can be... We can help each other out here.
Is that right?
Yes. I think so. I will give you as much as I can, but I need to leave a little as a bargaining chip. So, as you have rightly guessed, yes, Michael Lawrence and Montoro are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
When I decided to set myself a challenge and sold off my assets, my plan was to spend a few months enjoying myself and then do something new and prove to myself that the success I'd had wasn't luck. So I tied my assets up in Daleks.
And then decided to side with a load of Nazis.
Well, that wasn't my original plan. In fact...
Oh, you didn't. You missed the swastikas and the goose-stepping, did you?
Until yesterday, yes.
Oh, I see.
So I left myself a few hundred thousand to have a few months of relaxation. And a small stipend to start a new business. And then I met Mr. Wilbur Smith, or Smythe, as he prefers. And he offered me something that I couldn't refuse. I can only assume he'd been watching me for a little while. He offered to pay me a huge amount of money to refurbish the Daleks fleet, under the understanding that the old vehicles were sold off to him and his associates.
Mm-hmm.
Easy money. What? How could I say no? And it was a lot of money, even for me. And on paper, completely above board. He told me the reason for this was his employer was planning to bring your employer to its knees. Well, you can imagine, for someone like me, not having met a human law enforcement knocking around is a large advantage, as well as the money he was paying me.
Okay.
The problem was, yesterday, I never thought they'd pull it off. Taking down Echo worldwide. That's ridiculous. But he was paying me, well, millions, is all I can say. And after a while, he decided he was going to entrust me with something else. Which is what you put paid to. He wanted to pull some of the US gangs together to be a distraction for the police when they decided to make their move on Echo. And as I say, you put paid to that. And he was not best impressed. I personally think that if it wasn't for my other talents, he would have killed me there and then. So anyway, this all leads to why I dropped you in it. He was not impressed with me, and when he told me they were ready to move the day before yesterday, he caught me off guard, and I was in a position where I had to prove to him very quickly that I was still on board. And all that popped into my head was, well, you'd unhinged his plans in a roundabout way, was to target you. And that seemed to do the trick. It was your skin or mine. So, what I'm proposing is this. That's most of it, not quite all of it. What I am doing now, I'm sure you're not foolish enough to think I'm going where I've told my staff I'm going, is to send a trail of breadcrumbs to my former employer while I try and disappear, and to also get that insidious bodyguard off my track. So I'm sending them to my home in the lakes. Lake Michigan, very nice. I recommend you, if you haven't holidayed there before, I recommend you do it. While I disappear off the face of the earth. I really have no bones with your team, or you. I have no bones with Echo. And I can assure you, you do not scare me anywhere as much as Wilbur Smythe does.
Oh, wow.
So if you were to let me just slip away in the traffic, then I will give you the other snippets.
So it's all just business, is it?
So you see, it's okay. You see his car pull up outside of quite a small bank. So you've headed north up through Atlanta. He pulls up outside a smallish bank in a sort of a small town area as well.
Okay. Does he get out or anything?
The car pulls up and says, so, do we have an arrangement? I spill the rest of my guts and you let me go.
How about you spill your guts anyway and then we take you back?
From what I hear, Echo hasn't been very effective at protecting its prisoners from these people.
And why should that concern you?
Because if you take me back, I'll be one of your prisoners.
Yes, but you'll be our prisoner.
You beat a trooper. One, I presume they sent. I'm small fry in their organisation. They did guarantee me they would send something after you.
We destroyed a trooper.
From what I saw on the news, and as I say, I really didn't understand who or what they were until yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. A business tour gone bad for you, was it? Well, maybe you shouldn't get into bed with the devil.
Well, you are not wrong there. While we chat, I'm going to go and withdraw some of my funds from this bank. And we will see where we go from there. I do have some interesting information. If you could guarantee me that Echo would employ me, I would be happy to come back to Echo with you as an operative, not a prisoner.
I cannot vouch for what Echo would want to do with you. To be part of one of the worst attacks in history on innocent people, you know, aiding and abetting. I cannot speak for Echo.
So it seems we are at an impasse. I have information, and I will not lie to you, it is tentative. It is not going to... I'm not going to give you someone's head on a platter. I don't have that sort of information. As I say, one of the few things that I do honour myself... I do pride myself in... is my honesty. On rare occasions, I have broken it, and with you, that was one of them.
Well, you have proved nothing to us.
So you see,
you have gone against your word.
You see the car door open, yeah, and you see, this guy, you know, sort of trim, athletic build, just slightly the clothing of a man who likes to show off his body. Gets out of the car, yeah. Walks into the bank. I do feel bad for what's gone off. I am not an innocent man by any means. But I do not agree with the wholesale slaughter of thousands of innocent people. And that is what I saw on the news this morning. Tens of thousands of innocent people were killed. I can give you something that might help.
But you are a perpetrator in this crime. Well, I'm not going to let you go.
Just roll me a perception.
2 going to radio it through to the guys. Made it by 2, or 3.
So you watch his car pull off. So I'm going to cut back to Bullet and Shotwave, and there may be a slight time disparity here. So,
yeah.
So Shotwave, yeah, you're sat in the van waiting for Bullet to do whatever he's doing, you know, listening to the radio.
Yeah,
Kicking your heels, really.
Well, I was going to ask Stratus for a running commentary of the roads they use, because in my head I'm thinking that there's going to be quite a lot of destroyed roads.
Okay. Stratus, is that okay with you?
Yeah. Left onto 15th. Up some Broken Boulevard.
I would say it's about 5 minutes away from where we just had our conversation.
So I'll make, you know, jot the road names down, which way he's heading.
Bullet, how much did you make your perception by?
I made it by 4.
Okay, so yeah, you're in this in the billiard room. So yeah, you go through the double doors. That was your plan, wasn't it, to go and have a look into the what appears to be a music room more than anything. So yeah, you push the doors open, or you can just look through them. So yeah, you see it's a well-appointed room. He's got this large grand piano up on a little pedestal. He obviously he obviously likes entertaining his guests, or being entertained maybe. And yeah, there's a cabinet with three or four guitars in that you would say they're probably expensive. The cabinet's its doors. You can hear again the hum of an air conditioner. You know, keeping the humidity and everything in there. There's chairs scattered around. You can see there's another set of double doors leading out into a large sunroom, which has again got tables scattered around.
Right.
And then more doors through there leading out into the back garden. You can probably see Mordor. if you go right into the room, you'll see that there's a large pool outside the house as well.
Okay, and there's a door into the hall from by the piano, is there? Just
roll me another perception bullet, shockwave, and bullet as well.
No,
maybe by one.
One will do it. Shockwave man, you're obviously listening to the radio.
You're
busy
jotting down the street
names. You're listening to Clive's Agony Half Hour. Bullet, you hear the sounds of splintering, shattering doors behind you.
Which direction?
Behind you. You're in the room with the piano. You've just walked through the doors, so those double doors between the two rooms are just behind
you. Okay. In that case, I am going to teleport behind the piano.
Okay. Just roll me your DCP. Oh, your to hit, so. And don't forget to take your endurance off.
It's 13 or lower.
Yeah, you hit Roman, but you've only got to hit DC 3.
Crouch down.
And if you miss that, you're just going to appear somewhere slightly different. So yeah, you teleport behind the piano and crouch down quickly. Can you roll me a perception?
Made it by 2.
Can you roll me a stealth as well?
Yeah.
Or whatever the stealth equivalent is.
I think I made that, definitely. I made it anyway because my dex is so high.
Through the doors, you see, you hear that crash. You disappear, teleport behind the piano, get some cover and hide. Skidding across the room, you see what must be. It must be the size of a Great Dane at the very least, maybe a small pony. Metal wolf scratching its claws against the lacquered floor, slowing itself down.
Wow.
You notice that the wolf has that flowing design to it, that sort of art deco design that the armor had to it.
Yeah.
Brings itself to a stop. You see its ears are bared down and its head swinging around.
Cool.
Shotwave completely missed that coming into the house.
Okay. Open a channel to Shockwave. We've got Nazi wolf in the house. Get the motor running. I'm coming out with Marguerite, hopefully. And I'm going to teleport to the kitchen.
So, what's the cardinal rule of doing an RP game and being in a party?
No, split up.
That's the one.
Well, it's easy to say that now. You didn't notice any flying saucers hovering overhead with swastikas emblazoning the sides. Shockwave.
Huh?
I was sorry, I had a bit of music on and I was playing the air guitar.
So before we start phase one of turn one, we will flip back to Stratus.
Hello.
Stratus, you hear us over your intercom. What Bullet just said.
Oh, dear me. Well, I was going to relay back that Montoro wants to make a deal, but I'm not in a deal-making mood.
Did you take mental defense?
5 points. So that gives me 7 with me ego.
So yeah, Montoro is disappearing into the bank. That message comes through. Montoro goes, "Ooh, oops. Maybe you have more serious things to deal with. It's your choice. I will still give you what I have if you promise to leave me alone." And I would suggest you do. I have seen that thing in action. It's terrifying.
You would say that to get me off your back.
Well, yes, I would, but it's your friends.
Oh, well. So
I might be able to use a man like you.
He is in the bank, isn't he? At the moment.
Yeah, he's just walked through the front doors.
I'm going to...
So you think he might be driving off...
Blast to the front of his car where the engine is.
So yeah, the car is starting to pull out, actually. So what are you just hitting it with an energy blast?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll me a hit.
DCV 8 or lower.
Yeah, you hit it.
Okay.
Roll me your damage.
Oh, so that is 8 body and 30 stun.
You crumple the front end, but it doesn't immobilize it. So yeah, you swoop down and blast the front of his car. Just roll me a perception.
On it.
So yeah, you see his chauffeur. This is sort of young Hispanic, very handsome looking man. Look very, very shocked. And slams his foot to the floor and pulls out forces his way into the traffic as you say, you crumple the front end, but not enough to damage the engine.
Damn.
That was not nice.
You can't lecture people about being nice, instigator to the fucking Fourth Reich.
He is an innocent.
What? The car?
No, the driver.
I wasn't attacking the driver. I was immobilizing the car. I'm radioing back to Echo.
Let me pick up what I need, and then we can sort this out like gentlemen in the street.
You're not a gentleman.
Depends on your definition of gentleman.
Hold on, I'm looking in my definition book now, and you're not there.
Ah. And we'll come back to Bullet and Stratus. Sorry, Bullet and Shockwave, because they might be screaming at you for help by this point. So, yes. One, Bullet, you are definitely the fastest. You're teleporting where?
Which Marguerite pointed out was through the...
Through the doors to the north of the dining room.
By the way, that wolf... Is that the thing that was being manhandled into the van?
It was, yeah. And a shockwave completely missed it, leaping out of the van. The removal people all having a bit of a fit, and it piling in through the front doors. Just roll me your to hit to get into the kitchen.
DCV 8 or lower.
Yeah, you appear in the kitchen and yeah, you see Marguerite. I see Marguerite peeking out through the door.
Marguerite?
She swirls around, looking, you know, wide-eyed and...
I'm going to take you somewhere safe. Do you trust me?
Yes. Yeah. You're an Echo uniform, aren't you?
Okay. I'll take her hand and I'm going to teleport us to the car.
Well,
I've asked Shockwave to get the motor going.
Get your motor running. Hang it out on the highway.
Just roll me your to hit. Remember, you've got your range modifiers as well.
I spin the van round.
So the van is about 65 metres away.
That's further than I can do, so I will teleport us first onto the roof of the removals truck, which I'm guessing is a lot closer and within my range. So
yeah, it's about 20 metres.
DCV 12 or lower.
Yeah, you easily do it. So yeah, you just... disappear out of the house onto the roof of the removals truck. You see your van parked just on the other side of that little island. One of the removals trucks is already starting to pull away. You see two or three removals people piling into the other van in a state of panic after they've just seen this large metal wolf animate and leap out the back of their vehicle and then go pounding into the house. Luckily, you've appeared on the one that is stationary at the moment.
Okay. wave to Shockwave. Shockwave!
Yeah?
Shockwave, get the car moving!
Alright, put my foot down.
Which way are you going?
Heading back. I'm heading away. I said I was going to spin it round.
Cool, okay. How far away is he now?
About 40 metres.
Oh, what can I do?
Just leave her there if you're in the pallet, in the removal truck, and jump in the van. The thing's going to chase us. He's on the roof.
So let me just reiterate where everyone was. The two removals vans are directly outside of the house on that circle of the little island in the middle. You had parked up on the road before you hit that. You'd sort of pulled up over there to hide yourselves a little bit.
Yeah
but then I pulled up in outside. I thought I pulled up outside because we were going to make our delivery.
You did, and then you came away again, and then he went back into the toilet.
Come on, Bullet, what are you going to do? What are you doing, Bullet?
Well, I'm going to teleport us to you as soon as I'm able. 40 metres, I can do 110 feet, so what's that? Oh, that's 33 metres, so I can't quite make it. Still, we can get close to within you know, 15 metres. So I'll teleport us towards the van.
Yeah, just wrong perception. You get plus
a
three
severe
bonus.
Sorry.
Made mine by 7.
Yeah, as Bullet teleports quite close to the van with this Hispanic woman in, say, a traditional maid's outfit, you know, black dress, white apron and all that, you see bursting out of one of the windows on the front right of the building is a large metal wolf. It leaps through the windows and starts tearing across the lawn, moving at a fair old clip.
Hurry up, Bullet.
How fast does it appear to be moving compared to, you know, someone running?
Compared to someone running, you reckon twice as fast?
Okay. I will teleport us into the car on my next segment. Roll it, yeah?
Yeah, roll your tip.
Yes.
Yeah, you teleport in.
Yes.
With Marguerite, I presume.
Marguerite, shockwave, Marguerite.
No.
We need to get to Stratus, I reckon.
Right, put my foot down.
So, yeah, you put your foot down and what's start tanking away from the building. You reckon, as you slowly pull away from it, you've got combat driving, haven't you? Can you just roll me a combat driving?
Yeah, made it by 2.
You reckon it's fast, though. You reckon it must be doing about 30 miles an hour.
Wow.
But you slowly leave it in the distance.
I want to get a few shots off at it before it's out of range. I clamber into the back seat.
Yeah, you can certainly try. I will give you a whole turn.
I'm going to try this new rifle.
Okay.
With some armor piercing rounds. So I'm assuming, sorry to talk rules, but I'm assuming for auto fire, combat skill levels don't apply, because that would be...
If you want to apply combat skill levels to auto fire, you have to be able to apply it to every shot.
Right, yeah, cool. Okay.
So if you've got enough points to say, I'll put 1 point into each shot to increase to hit or damage.
Yeah, I can't do that, so I won't.
Remember, with auto fire as well, you can choose how many shots. You don't have to take the maximum amount of shot.
That's a very good point. Oh, well, in that case, I'll put an extra point into each shot to hit, and try a couple of shots. I'll only hit DCV 6.
You hit with the first shot.
Oh, I'm just trying to finding my range.
So, with auto fire, I sent you the rules, didn't I, for auto fire? But I can't personally remember how they work. Is it, do you roll for each shot, or is it one roll and then it's -2 for how many times you hit?
Absolutely. So.
So yeah, you hit with the first shot, but however many others you burst out, miss.
Oh, actually, I forgot, I get +1 OCV with this rifle, so I don't know if the other shot hits.
So the first one you get, the second one will be 5. Yeah, you hit with 2 shots.
Oh, cool. Okay. Damage is 2d6 +1. First one is 21 +1, 22.
So the first one does 7 body and 21 stun.
Yeah. And
the second shot.
Okay, 20. So that's 3 body.
No. So if you see what you've rolled, you've got 4 + 1 × 6 - 1. So the 4 + 1 is your body that you've done. That's your 2d6.
Right.
And the 6 - 1 is the stun multiplier. So 4 + 1 is the body, effectively. And the total, which is 25, is the stun. So you do 5 body and 25 stun. And then if you've got any pluses on, we can add that on. Yeah, you take 2 shots that you hit. I don't know how many shots you find, but you certainly hit with the first 2.
Yeah, it was just 2.
So you take 2 careful shots. You hit it twice. Both of the bullets just ricochet off its armour.
Just as I thought. I should have gone for the knees.
You do see now it's chasing you down the road and you're firing at it. Its eyes glow with this sickly orange light, the same sort of light that was emanating out of those spheres.
This is the bodyguard.
Evasive action.
You're slowly pulling away with Shockwave's driving. You know, he's easily, you know, even though he's steadily accelerating, you know, he's easily weaving his way through these streets. And you slowly leave this rather horrendous Nazi thing behind you.
Running amok. In little 5 points.
Maybe.
Okay, Shockwave, what do you suggest?
Stratus. we'll pop over to you for a bit.
Hello.
You hear all this commotion coming through on your intercoms.
Matt, turn it off.
So you start to hear this come through as the car pulls out into the flow of the traffic, and Montoro was telling you what a naughty boy you'd be.
Mm-hmm.
So we really don't have a deal. I can give you two names.
Give me the names and then I'll tell you whether we've got a deal.
Absolutely not.
You see...
Listen, I'm going to put it to you like this, Stratus. I know I can take you. There is no doubt about it. I can read your mind like a book.
Okay.
But...
Did you know this was going to happen?
I don't want to leave your corpse in the street and have echo on my tail. Let me go. I'll give you what I still have. I can't be fairer than that.
You can be fairer than that. You can come out. You can let me handcuff you. Put some lead bucket on your head. I don't know. And come back with me to Echo. I'm summoning Chili.
I'm so pleased I didn't meet you in all my negotiations.
So yeah, I'm summoning Chili, my elemental.
All right, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And you see,
did you see that coming as he appears?
And you see Montoro burst out of the bank, flings the doors open, Michael Lawrence, should we say, starts to run out. He stutters and vanishes. You are stronger than I thought. I should have stuck with Bullet, shouldn't I? He was so easy to manipulate.
Come on, stop messing around. Give yourself up.
You guarantee my safety.
Told you I can't guarantee anything. You have aided and abetted in tens of thousands of deaths. Don't you understand? It doesn't matter how eloquently you speak. You are a criminal that has blood on your hands. And for that, you need to be held accountable.
You're right.
Show yourself.
You are right, I really am not a killer.
Stop trying to manipulate my mind. Where are you? Come out. Chili, sick him.
To be honest, I really didn't have another way out of here. Okay, I'm coming out. And you watch Montoro walk out with his hands in the air.
Like he just doesn't care.
Right.
And, you know, he looks at... Because you were stealthing between the buildings and all that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sort of looks in your general direction. And in your mind you hear, okay, come and get me.
So, yeah. I'll and send Chili to
puts his hands
get him.
On his head. So yeah, you're, and you see people are starting to scatter as this huge
lump
well,
of
not
ice.
Huge, it's about 8-10 foot tall, isn't it, Chili? Yeah,
still pretty huge.
Sort of lumps across the road, I presume, to Montoro. And he says, ah, you're so, so easy, Stratus. So easy. I offered you so much, and I would have given it you.
I don't want your blood money.
But now, you can fuck right off, and Montoro vanishes.
But yeah, I don't have any detection abilities. Ephemera, where are you?
Well, in Shockwave, you watch this thing disappear. It's pounding down the road after you. But you just leave it standing eventually. So I say it's fast, but it's not as fast as you by any means.
Carry on.
Well, you're heading to Stratus.
Yeah.
So off you, So you head up north through Atlanta, and eventually get to this bank, and the Stratus comes to meet you halfway.
Now I'm scanning around.
If it's any consolation, Stratus, Montura had to try several times before he pulled off.
I saw the rolls. So,
and we can have his guitars.
I reckon there's a 1989 Mark Loftus axe in there.
No, it's still in my dining room. Sophie plays it now.
I thought it got nicked.
Oh, what, the actual guitar that was called an axe?
Yes.
Yeah, that got nicked.
I reckon that's it.
In Montoro,
Atlanta.
Well, that could be anywhere, because brand new, they were about 50 quid. They were really cheap intro.
They were then.
Guitars. So you all meet up outside the bank, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Best go in the bank and check they're all okay in there. Has he just heisted it, or is he... I wouldn't have thought banks would be open today after all the shit's gone on.
He was never in the bank.
It was all in his mind.
Yeah.
It was all in your
he
mind.
Pulled up. He did a mental illusion of going into the bank, and then his driver took him into the traffic and drove him off. So Stratus hitting his car, if he'd managed to disable it, would have been quite nasty. He'd have been in a different position.
Completely took you over, and I was afraid of that as well.
He didn't take me over.
He did.
He fooled me.
Yeah.
He fooled you, yeah.
You're a fool.
Just an illusion. He didn't...
Yeah, he didn't control me.
Yeah. He could have tried, but that's harder.
I'm going to apologise to Marguerite for the hair-raising escape.
Yeah, Marguerite is very quiet. Quite ashen looking.
Okay, Marguerite, it appears that that your employer's gone AWOL. We'll try and track him down, but
and make him accountable for the thousands of deaths that he's involved with.
Why are you abducting me?
Well, I was thinking initially to get you away from that mechanical monstrosity.
What mechanical monstrosity?
It's all in your mind.
Didn't you see the hound?
I was making you sandwiches, and your friend, she says, pointing at Shockwave. And you appeared in the kitchen, and then you made us appear on that van, and then here.
Well, I tell you what, let's go. I'll take you back to the Echo Campus for a debriefing, and we can explain what's happened, and then maybe we can.
I thought you'd come back. I thought you were nice. I thought you'd come back for me.
Well,
that it was an excuse to.
Well, what do you mean that you thought I'd come? You thought I'd come back for you?
My father, he has no money. He can't pay you.
What?
Well.
From the outside looking in, she was in the kitchen making sandwiches. He's appeared in the kitchen, grabbed her, and put her in a van.
Okay, Marguerite, that's why I'm suggesting that we need to go back to Echo for a debrief, so I can explain exactly what's happened here. But don't worry, I have only your best interests at heart as an upholder of.
Basically, your boss is a class A asshole.
Oh, this is Stratus, by the way.
Bullet, can you just roll me a seduction?
Let me see.
Which I feel, again, I have to stress, is a one-to-one charisma. It's not the...
A deduction.
Colloquial term for seduction.
Seduction. Oh,
yes,
I'm on it.
That's your ability to influence another individual. So, yeah, you manage to calm her down as you drive back to Echo. And for this episode, I think we'll leave it there.
Tune in same time next week.
Thank you for listening to Chimpions. If you've listened to earlier episodes, you'll realise this is a labour of love on our part. So, if you enjoy what we're doing and would like to help support the show, please go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a review. We'd also love to hear what listeners think we can do to improve the show's content and format. You can find us on Twitter at ChimpionsRPG. Email me at mark@chimpions.co.uk. Through the contact section of the website at chimpions.co.uk.
Cherish them in parts of me, they savor every kiss. I couldn't face a life without your light. But all of that was ripped apart, and you refuse to find. So save your breath, I will not hear. I think I made it very clear. You've been hating enough to love. Is that supposed to be enough? I only wish you were my friend. Then I could hurt you in the end. I never claimed to be a saint. Ooh, I almost banished Fargo. Took the death of home to let you go. Control.